Well, AI got quite the talking to this week. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The Federal Trade Commission issued a strongly worded post Monday warning companies against unfair or deceptive practices in their use of AI, as well as violations of fair credit rules. It told companies to hold themselves accountable for their algorithms or, quote, be ready for the FTC to do it for you. Dang! And also this week, the European Union drafted detailed legislation that would regulate AI, including banning some surveillance and social credit scores. Let's check it out in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Ryan Kahlo is a law professor at the University of Washington. He says the FTC post was a surprise.
And as I'm reading through it, my eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm just sort of marveling at the language that the staff attorney has used. But basically, it's a shot across the bow for those people who are using and selling AI systems, warning them that if they exaggerate claims about AI or if they sell AI that has a racially discriminatory effect, that they should expect scrutiny from the Federal Trade Commission.
I guess my response when I first saw that note, though, was we don't really have metrics for this. You know, there's no consensus on how to judge whether AI is biased, the FTC is understaffed. Like, how meaningful is this threat really?
Remember that the Federal Trade Commission doesn't necessarily need to establish this or that algorithm is fair according to some metric. What they have to establish is that the company engaged in unfair or deceptive practice. Take, for example, the warning that you shouldn't make claims about what artificial intelligence can do that are not supported by the evidence, right? That's quite analogous to another context where you might exaggerate the efficacy of some vitamin supplement. However, your point about bandwidth is very well taken. I've long thought and encourage policymakers to think about every chance I get how understaffed the FTC is relative to its mission, its charge.
Meanwhile, as this is happening, the European Union has proposed over 100 pages of potential AI regulations. Do you have a sense of what would change if some of that became law?
The proposal in Europe is, in fact, a comprehensive set of rules that if they were ultimately passed, if they're ultimately promulgated, would create some significant obligations and limitations on the use of AI in Europe. So, for example, there would be certain things that you simply wouldn't be able to do. And there would be other things where if you did them, you'd have to have a plan to mitigate risk. I think also it will have an effect here. And even our own lawmakers in on the Hill in D.C. Would look to Europe.
I mean, taking all of these things together and other kind of, you know, bans on facial recognition, like, is there a sense that we may be learning the lessons of the past and potentially getting at least a little bit ahead or maybe neck and neck with AI in terms of regulation while it is also, you know, becoming a bigger part of society?
I think there's an opportunity here because I think that a lot of the long-standing societal ills, things that are certainly not new to the last decade, have really come to the fore, come into visibility because of our fascination and concern about artificial intelligence. And so what I'm hopeful about is that AI as a technology we'll get the kind of scrutiny that will help to, you know, not totally, but help to dismantle some of these societal ills that are longstanding. That's sometimes a role that technology has. It brings to the fore longstanding problems, longstanding failures to live up to our values. And that's what I'm hoping that is going to be happening here. I think the danger is to just stop at AI. So to say, hey, we're going to ban, you know, facial recognition. There, we've addressed the problem, right? No, I think everybody who works in this space is realizing that bias and inequity is baked into many different aspects of technology, and that AI is very visible and draws our attention, but that to really address the kinds of problems we have in this country and others, we need to think more systemically.
Do you have any examples of what the EU law might do?
the way that the legislation is structured is to place different use cases for AI into different categories of risk. Mm-hmm. And so the most high sort of the most concerning sort of things are actually prohibited. So one of the prohibited artificial intelligence practices is to use an AI system that does something that you and I have talked about on this show before, which is to manipulate human behavior to their detriment. Mm-hmm. So if you create an AI system that like exploits vulnerable people, that's actually prohibited. You can't do it. There's also a prohibition on using a kind of sort of general purpose scoring system, the way that China apparently has like a scoring assessment tool, a social credit, you know, scoring tool. That's prohibited. And so that's a direct response, I think, in many ways to how China is approaching AI, right? Indiscriminate surveillance off the table. So there's these things that are not allowed. And what's so interesting about it is that the things that are not allowed are digital harms. They're kind of ephemeral. They're bits, not bones, I like to say, you know? That is to say that these are fundamental human rights who are being affected through code, through bits, through data. Mm-hmm. Then you get down to high-risk systems, which are systems where you can still do it, but you have certain obligations. And those things are all of a sudden things that affect physical safety and critical infrastructure. In other words, where bones are on the line. You know, these are high-risk systems that where the consequence could be that someone gets hurt physically or infrastructure gets hurt physically. Hmm. So in the United States, it's often very difficult to escape liability when you hurt people physically and too easy to escape accountability when you hurt them in a digital context. Whereas here, the EU is saying there are some no-go territory that are really these dignitary digital harms. And that's very, very interesting to me. And then, you know, there are also some very specific requirements around documenting your system, being transparent, having a certain amount of human oversight, having enough robustness and accuracy. You have to document that you have certain quality management systems and so on, right? So there are a lot of regulatory obligations that would come with this bill. And so it really is a sea change from the first part of our conversation where basically the FTC, one of our, you know, big consumer watchdogs is saying, we're paying attention to this space and we're going to use our amorphous pre-existing authority to go after unfair and deceptive practice to look at the AI industry versus here is a comprehensive scheme that is broken down by the kind of AI we're talking about and has affirmative specific obligations, right? These are very far apart mm-hmm. in terms of ways to manage, to govern AI. And yet they have in common that they're both taking AI seriously and taking the harm seriously and thinking of it as being an important transformative technology that requires change to law and legal institutions.
Ryan Kahlo is a law professor at the University of Washington. And now for some related links. I encourage you to read the FTC's post because, as you probably know, government agencies aren't always the most plain spoken. And the FTC in this case is telling companies flat out, don't exaggerate what your algorithms can do. Be on alert for discriminatory outcomes. Be transparent and empower independent researchers to audit your code. Tell the truth about how you use data. It's a lot of common sense in some ways, and it's also interesting to read in light of the more than 100 pages we mentioned coming out of the EU, because in some ways, that is the alternative, right? There's a link to the post and some analysis over at marketplacetech.org, as well as some writing about the EU's risk-based approach and what its global impacts might be. Now, one thing I should note about the FTC versus the EU, the EU's proposed regulations include fines, big ones, up to 6% of global sales for violators, while here in the US, the Supreme Court this week gutted the FTC's ability to recoup money for consumers in court when it finds that a company has violated regulations. For example, its 2016 settlement with Volkswagen over the diesel emissions scandal, where it won nearly $10 billion to return to people and agencies hurt by the actions. The agency can presumably still order other consequences to companies, but is asking Congress to restore this tool, its ability to recoup a lot of money for consumers. Also, while you're clicking, there's a link to a good Bloomberg story looking at the history of Google's ethical AI group and how it had some internal ethical challenges of its own even before the well-publicized exit of Black researcher Timnit Gebru and the later firing of her co-lead Margaret Mitchell. Among other things, there were complaints of racism and sexual harassment, and apparently an ongoing argument over whether the researchers in the ethical AI group, including Gebru, would be allowed to look into data around Waymo, the self-driving car unit. They wanted to know whether its pedestrian detection sensors took into account skin color or whether someone was using a wheelchair or a cane, for example. You know, the kind of transparency and independent auditing the FTC is suggesting, you might say. Anyway, it's a long read, but you have all weekend, right? Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produced the show. Our engineers are Robin Edgar and Becca Weinman. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.